Calling all foodies. The Lorain County Commissioners invite you to Lorain County's second annual Restaurant Week. Visit the 10 participating restaurants March 2nd through the 11th. Dine in and enter to win. Learn more at visitlorainecounty.com/locoeats.
Congratulations!
70.
I know you're listening.
Funny, you don't look 70. Neither do I. Hi, I'm Marjorie Snyder from the North Ridgeville Chamber of Commerce, wishing AM 930 WELL a very happy anniversary.
This is Weather. Bullseye on Weather on AM 930. Overnight, rain. Low near 40. Thursday, rainy, windy. High near 47. Then temps dropping back.
Cloudy and 55.
It's Bull's Eye on the Afternoon with Andy Bull Barch and Matt Douglas on AM 930 WEOL.
I'm playing this song for a reason. Because if you get in at 3 a.m., and then you get back into the office at 10 a.m. and then show up for your regularly scheduled radio interview, you are indeed an ultimate warrior. And this is indeed the Ultimate Warriors theme song.
Yeah, I'll give it Lisa Roberson, the ultimate warrior here, at least the ultimate dedicated person to her craft. I'll certainly say that because I'd probably be in bed if that had been the situation for me.
Yes. Lisa Roberson of the Chronicle-Telegram in studio with us right now on our local beat with Lisa, brought to you by Vandermark Jewelers. Lisa, how are you?
I am doing well.
I tell you what, you had the classic response. You came in here and we talked about your trip to Vegas, and we'll definitely lead off with that. You knew we'd mention it at some point.
I knew you would mention it.
And I said, how did you do? And you said, I can't tell you, because what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. I said, you're right. All right. Well, we've got to ask. You know, you mentioned you ate some great food and you went out at a good time. What was the best thing that you had when you were out there?
To eat?
Yes.
It was an octopus salad at Buddy V's, which is a restaurant in the Venetian.
Octopus salad.
Yes.
Wow. Okay. All right. So is it similar to having like calamari?
Yes, but in this particular case, it was cooked in like a nice tomatoey broth, and you could have given me a bowl of the broth, and I would have just spooned that stuff in. It was delicious.
Sounds good.
Yeah, it sounds fantastic, as a matter of fact. All right, very nice. Well, we're happy to have you back. Glad you got back safely, and you're still rocking and rolling. You touched down, 12 hours ago, a little more than that? That's pretty impressive.
Yes.
So thank you again for coming back in studio with us. And, you know, it should be mentioned also that Lisa worked when she was on vacation. You know, the article that you saw pop up this morning, it didn't just magically show up there. Lisa put that thing together while she was in Las Vegas, and that'll primarily dominate what we talk about today. Just, I guess we'll start with that. What were your major takeaways from yesterday's State of the City address?
Yeah, Mayor Holly Brenda delivered her State of the City address. You can watch it via Facebook Live, which is what I did from Las Vegas, so that I can get all of this information for you guys today. And I guess my major takeaway is, like, it's always a sellout event that's sponsored by the Elyria Rotary Club and the Lorain County Chamber of Commerce. And I'm always amazed by the number of people that are there, from, you know, school officials to business people. And, you know, I call it the mayor's show for a reason, because she was like really the star of the day. And she was more than happy to kind of start her address by giving people a number to guess of all the investment that's been happening in the city that will happen over the next few years. And it was a pretty high number. And many people had to sit down as she was going through the numbers of, do you believe it's more than 100,000 or more than 200 million, more than 300 million? So a lot of people had to sit down on that.
Interesting stuff. Now, we'll talk about that number specifically here. I believe you mentioned in your article it was an estimated $400 million in projects scheduled out to 2022. So we're talking 4 years in advance. What all projects does this include, or which ones are detailed here?
The list of investments is pretty impressive. On the public side, there's about $140 million for new public schools and a stadium, which we know about. There's $12 million for new and renovated library buildings. There's $12 million for the parks. There's about $67 million that will be spent on road, bridge, and sewer improvements. On the private side, there's about $59 million that's spent in new homes and condominiums that are becoming in the city soon. Another $30 million for industry, business, and other expansions that will be adding to their locations. There's about another $36 million in public and private investment projects in the downtown area, and another $16 million around Midway Mall.
So there's a lot of money tied up there, no question about that. Well, it's good, though. Obviously, very, very good things. And speaking of good things, one of the other things you mentioned was that Mayor Brenda said that she's had conversations or meetings with developers about the following sites: the old Riddell building, the old 3M facility, and also the Sears building as well. Now, I don't believe she elaborated much on who she spoke with, did she?
She did not, and when I spoke with her 2 hours ago, she did not elaborate again. Can I try to press her for a little bit more information for today's broadcast? Let's start with the 3M project, the 3M property. So there's that property is a sponge manufacturer that closed up in 2017, and she was very surprised that it hit the market so quickly. It hit the market about 3 weeks ago with the intent to sell it. And so far, she said she's had about 3 serious inquiries about that building. 2, she said, were very, very interested in the property. It's probably going to go back to being manufacturing because it's well-suited for that kind of industry. So that's where we have for 3M. Then when you want to look at the former Sears building, that one's also off for sale. She said that one went up for sale quicker than she thought. Sears typically likes to hold on to their properties for a little longer before they put them up for sale. And she said she's had a few inquiries about that one, and she said, you know, from that one and also the automotive part of Sears, there's 2 different buildings. And so people have looked at both of those, and she hopes they're going to sell by the end of this year. And then Riddell property, there's less that can be said about Riddell because Riddell didn't actually own their building. They leased their building from Nick Abraham. Nick Abraham owns the building, so it's going to be up to Nick Abraham to decide if he wants to sell or lease the building again.
Any chance he would sell it to the city? Or are those details still kind of off in the distant future?
Yes. I mean, she said she's had a meeting with Nick Abraham within the last week or so and just kind of discussing the property, but no details about what's going to happen with it.
Okay. Interesting. I mean, those are 3 big-time facilities and big-time properties, no question about that. So it's obviously great news for the city that she's had some sit-downs and she's had some conversations with some people that are very, very interested. I want to hit on something quickly also. You were talking earlier about that large number, $400 million in projects, and you mentioned the roadways, the bridges. Those were part of the process also. You wrote an article shortly before you left, and you were speaking, I believe, to those that run roads, streets, what do they call them here in Elyria? Do they just call, I want to say, is it the department that lays the cold patch, the hot patch?
Yes, it's the streets department.
Mm-hmm. Long, long time ago, I worked on the road crew, or the street department, for lack of a better term, in Lyndhurst, and I was on the back of a truck, and we would legitimately drive up and down the street. We'd try and find these big old potholes. One of us would get a broom. We would get all the garbage out of the potholes, for lack of a better term, and then we would have a big old truck full of hot patch. We would dump the hot patch down, shovel it just enough, and then we would have a roller go over the top of it and smooth it out. So I'm kind of familiar with how that works. Now, I think this time of the year, though, that process can be a little frustrating, obviously, if you're driving on it, because you see pothole after pothole, and you think to yourself, I'm going to blow out a tire on my commute to work. But at the same time, you know, it can be a little bit difficult if you're on the streets department because, I mean, you want to attack those things, you want to fix those things, but you also know that those are only temporary fixes. I mean, it could snow in 2 days, and the plow trucks have to come right back out again, and that work can be undone pretty quickly.
Yes. You talked a little bit about using hot patch when you worked for the crew. Right now, they're using cold patch because the asphalt plants are not even up and running and making hot patch. And so cold patch, they just shovel it in and tap it down. It was some very labor-intensive work that I witnessed them doing to fill these holes, and a lot of them were down to the bricks in some areas. And so they're hoping they can get as many of them filled. When they get calls from residents and commuters who complain about the holes, they put them on a list. And, you know, depending on what the concern is, if this was on a main thoroughfare where it's more than 35 miles per hour, they, you know, it's moved to the top of the list. If it's already caused damage to someone's car, they move it to the top of the list because that can open them up for liability issues for future drivers. And so they're moving through this list as quickly as possible to kind of cold patch these until the plant opens up and they can actually start a resurfacing projects.
That's music to the ears of many who are listening, because we hear that quite a bit here at the station, that they really wish a lot of those potholes would be secured, only because, I mean, here we are, February 28th, hard to believe, but the month is over in about, 8 hours, if I'm doing my math
true.
Correctly. So, I mean, we're getting to that time of the year where the snow should hopefully fade away. So I know that's music to the ears of many. Also wanted to spend just a second here to talk about John Beckett's incredible contributions to the city over the years, which led to him getting a key to the city. And just kind of wanted to give you a chance to talk about what an incredible honor that is.
I have spoken to Mr. John Beckett, who's the chairman of the Beckett Corporations, a number of times because of different events before the Bicentennial in 2017. He's a lifelong Elyria resident. He loves the city and he loves the history of the city. He eagerly stepped in to produce and support the Elyria Bicentennial documentary, which is making history then and now, and has also been a contributor to the Bicentennial Legacy Project, which is going to be the fountain at Ely Square. And if you ask him kind of what should Elyrians be proud about, he'll tell you everything. He'll say that him and Ely, who's a founder of the city, would be proud to see how far Elyria has come. You know, we're making a lot of progress, and this, you know, he's happy to be here and watch the project progress over the last 70 years. And so for that, he received the key to the city. He's the fourth person the mayor has given this honor to.
Wow, very cool stuff. Well, before we cut you loose, and I know that, you know, you've only been back in the state for, what, just over 12 hours. Anything you've got in the hopper that you're working on for the next few days?
I am working on, kind of a bittersweet story, bad news, good news. You know, the city did not receive the Bloomberg grant, which would have given them millions of dollars to start a new project given out by the Bloomberg Foundation. But the city is also going to just go ahead and do the project on a smaller scale themselves because they think the project is called Elyria Works Now. It's really worth the effort of kind of figuring out a way to lower the poverty rate and lower unemployment in a city and get people back to work.
And I believe you mentioned in the article detailing what went on in the State of the City address, the poverty rate's at 20%. Is
yes.
that right? Wow. Okay. Well, I lied. That wasn't my last question. Mm-hmm. I've got another one for
okay.
you here, too,
Shoot.
Because I'm always fascinated to hear what goes on when people go to Vegas, as much as they're willing to share, that is. So I've got to ask also, I've not been. I've heard so many great things. If there's one place that you believe a first-timer should visit when they go to Vegas, what place would that be?
I really enjoyed my brunch at the Bellagio. We spoke about this last week when I was here, and it was going to be an $80 brunch. Yes, indeed, it was an $80 brunch.
Worth it?
It was delicious, and the view, we were sitting right outside of the Bellagio water fountains, and you know, you had the Eiffel Tower right in the foreground. It was just such a beautiful view, and that is such a gorgeous high-end casino that if you really want to see kind of like that glitz and glamour of Las Vegas, the Bellagio will give it to you.
Okay. You nice. Agree with that? You've been to the Bellagio?
Yeah, I was in the. I visited the Bellagio. I wasn't in there for any length of time. I can't remember if I ate in there or not, but yeah, it's a nice hotel. I mean, it's beautiful. It's one of those places you're always going to walk past, it seems, on the strip because they have the water shows and everything. So yeah, it makes sense to me.
$80 brunch. Now, I'm a big brunch guy. I love me some
brunch
guy. But, you know, obviously.
You're a brunch guy.
Well, what, does that surprise you?
No, it's a funny thing to say. I'm a brunch guy. But anywho, yes.
Well,
my brunch came with unlimited drinks. So
yeah, like there's a couple places that do that over there, I noticed.
After mimosas and Bellinis and Bloody Marys galore.
Sure. Because people go nuts with these Bloody Marys. And Bloody Marys are okay, but I've seen people put just about anything you could think of into a Bloody Mary. We're talking like pepperoni, cheese, and olives, and it's like, I've never really thought of an alcoholic drink as like being savory. Usually they're more sweet than anything else, but like that's the polar opposite. But I would imagine at a place where you're spending $80 on brunch, I mean, you could get a pizza on top of that thing. That just, this just fascinates me. So while we're on that topic.
You're ordering your drink special made here with a pizza on top? I like that. That's impressive.
But they did not have a pizza on top, but I'm sure they could have worked something out.
Well, you know, people have like skewers. They put pickles in there and the whole nine yards. What was the craziest thing you saw in a Bloody Mary at this place?
Well, the Bloody Marys were pretty standard for the brunch. It was just a salami, olive, celery, a little pepperoni kind of pepper, you know, the little peppercorn things.
Okay.
Know.
Okay.
Was, you know.
Nothing too out of this world.
No,
then,
nothing
Matt.
Too out of this world. It was a little too spicy for me. I had one and then went back to the mimosas.
Yeah, that's the way to go, I feel. I'm not a big fan. As far as breakfast drinking goes or brunch drinking goes, I don't know. I've never been a big fan of tomato juice, so the Bloody Mary never attracted me. Orange juice is good, a little champagne in there.
Yeah, it was unlimited drinks, and then it was a three-course brunch, and
nice.
So the third course was a dessert buffet, and it was just decadent. It was, that was just great.
Sounds good.
We'll have to get into that a little bit more next week. Lisa, pleasure to have you in studio as always. I know this is a long day for you, so we appreciate you stopping by and coming in, spending some time with us. Next week, we'll have you on next Wednesday again because we have an Indian spring training game next Tuesday. So we look forward to it. Thank you as always, Lisa.
You are quite welcome.
All righty, that's Lisa Roberson with the Chronicle-Telegram joining us on our local beat with Lisa, brought to you by Vandermark Jewelers in Elyria on East Broad Street near the hospital. Vandermark Jewelers, a trusted name in jewelry. Time for a break here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Matt and I will come back for hour number two after this on AM 930 WEOL.
Today, you want to walk, run, lift, or maybe quite simply, just move better. And you want to do it free from joint pain. Cleveland Clinic wants to help. With the number one orthopedic and rheumatologic care in Ohio, we can help get you back to living the active life you want to live quickly and often without surgery. And with same-day appointments, you have access to the best care today. Find your way to the best care at clevelandclinic.org/access.
Get a true cinematic experience right on your laptop with the Dell XP.